Kenneth Yerushalayim. First time of all.
Bomb the thing.
He's in here.
Some of them on the bottom of the page. Oy di yesh ba b'toyra on. There is an addition, the advantages of the light of the Torah. Shemalvad shemeira la'adam lirois nechoicha ka'amor. Besides the fact that it illuminates for the person to be able to see correctly. Last week the Nesiv Shalom brought out the fact that the Torah Kedosha solves all these different contradictions that seem to be apparent in a person's life between what's demanded of us spiritually and our physical obligations. So the Torah, and he explained that the Torah teaches us how actually the physical can complement the spiritual. So besides that, Nesanasi gam derech la'odam animtze beguf chomri v'anevesh b'hamis moishchisa d'inyon b'hamim mishveilem. It gives a way of it shows the way for the person that finds himself in a physical body and a animalistic soul that pull them to animalistic and low things, v'shoichem by the mahaza, and it dwells in this world, modar ha'tavis v'aklipis, the dwelling place of all the tavis, of all the desires and the klipis, v'neged einov avira mezuhemes, and what meets the eye is a filthy atmosphere. All of that meets the eye is evil. The Torah teaches us how to overpower the good over the bad. Shatshuva alze. The response to all of this is the power of the Torah, which is the light of Torah. As the pasuk says, "Al pasuk kiner mitzvah v'Torah or." On the pasuk that says that a mitzvah is a candle and Torah is light, says the Gemara, "Moshal." This can be understood by an analogy. The hilch. It could be understood by a parable. Somebody is walking in the darkness of night, that he falls because of the darkness, he falls into pits, and he is stabbed by thorns. And robbers, cutthroats, come upon him. He'd look near, so if he lights a candle, shuvein and for the body, so he'll no longer fall into any pits, because he sees where he's going. But that still doesn't solve the problem of the robbers. Kivin shehera yoyim, but as soon as it becomes daylight, nitzel mekulam, he is saved from all of them. So that is what the Gemara compares the mitzvahs and Torah too. You know, a mitzvah is like a candle. It will help a person not fall into pits. But it still will not save the person totally until the person has Torah, which is similar to or to daylight. Ki kol ha-ra I'm sorry. Kol koyach ra, the entire power of evil, balistim haroitzchem, the goyzlim, talking about robbers that murder and steal, rak ve'ein roya. It's only when nobody's watching. But as soon as the day breaks, there's daylight, shuvainam shoyltim, they no longer reign. When a person transgresses an avera, the person's main concern is shalei yirani adam, that no one should see me. This is the koyach of the Torah. The concept of the light of Torah. The fact that it's daylight and we're saved from everything. What does that mean? Because through the Torah Kedosh, Margish, the person feels the person feels that the great king, the king of all kings, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is standing over him and watching what he's doing. The Torah gives that sense of oyer. It gives the sense that someone's watching. Mm-hmm. The darkness is like light. And then immediately the yira, fear, will come upon the person. Through the light of Torah, all darknesses are transformed into light. That save a person from all evil occurrences. So, basically, what Nisiva Shalom was saying here, that although mitzvahs can show us the light, can show us where we're going, it's a derech hachaim, it's a way of life, nevertheless, when we're confronted by an assayin, confronted by a certain test, if we don't have the sense that it's daylight and that someone's watching, we're going to fall through. Learning Torah gives us the sense of daylight, that we're under surveillance, that we're constantly watching us.
And also we can see clearly also, probably, right?
That's what he said before. This is besides that.
Okay.
Oid mashmo is b'Torah Ar. And there's yet another understanding of the light of Torah. The source of the powers of darkness and the dark inclinations that a person has, the source of that is from the zayhama is the filth of the thick physicality that we have. The Torah, though, purifies our physicality. And automatically we are saved from all of these above mentioned powers of darkness and inclinations. No, he says that once when we learn Torah purifies one's physicality. He said what seems to be a very obvious fact is that the reason why we're inclined to do things that seem not to be right is because we're physical people. That's where it comes from. That's the source of it. So our physicality draws us to do things that are wrong. One of the powers of Torah is that it purifies a person. It makes a person more spiritual. Automatically, when the person is more spiritual, he's not inclined to do things that a physical person is drawn to do.
I know people I think it's not true.
You are sure it's true.
Sure, just that.
There is, there's a couple of paragraphs we learned here. We're talking about the person who's learning properly, learning for the right reasons.
Okay.
That's a weird definition.
What?
What's proper?
What do you mean? You're learning l'shma, l'shem shemayim. You're not learning because for honor or for other reasons. You're learning because
to get close to Hashem. What would they be like if they weren't learning Torah full time?
Yeah.
No matter what you're learning for, you'll come to learn l'shma.
But he, and Siva Shalom explained that at least the Shaloi Lishma has to be for the sake of achieving Lishma.
Right. But he spent the whole first section saying that learning alone is insufficient,
right,
and that you need Midos to internalize what you've intellectually learned. He spent the whole section talking about
that. Was before that. That's all preceded.
That's the pre.
I think every week somebody brings up this question, and we go through this every week. This is the... This whole, we're like 166 pages into his book, and we already mastered Midas.
Yeah.
But here he's saying learning Torah will bring you Midas, but over there he said you have to have Midas in order to learn
Torah. No, here he's saying that learning Torah will purify our physicality so we won't be inclined to do... you won't be drawn to the physical desires that physical people are naturally inclined to do.
Okay, that's so with the Midos, you feel the inclination, but you resist it. And over here, he's saying that you don't even feel the inclination once you get to the right point.
That's one possibility. And then again, I don't think he ever mentioned that the Midos will.
They're a prerequisite.
No, but he's asking if it's a prerequisite, so why do we need the Torah to purify our physicality if it's purified already?
Midos are the refining of the character so that you are able to learn this text.
Exactly. And now here
once you've learned this
text,
you are now able to resist that world of physicality. There's a three-layered thing going on. You can't get to the text unless you are sufficiently refined with Ava and Yira to approach the text, not in a non-intellectual way. Now that you have that text, you are now able to face the real battle.
Which is? I'm still seeing it as circular. You have to have the meat, you have to have...
Yeah, I think that's fine. Circular is a good one. A good way
you have to
describe.
Have the Midos in order to learn the Torah, and then you learn Torah and you get the Midos.
Right.
So
what do you mean right?
He's right that it's a circular, it's a self-fulfilling circle that you have to break into.
Then you still
you require
stuck
both.
You can have awfully good Midos and still have a...
He's right that you require both.
The physicality of walking to McDonald's and eating treif has nothing to do with the Midos that you have. You can be a really refined person with Ava and Yura and everything else. Well, Yura, you're probably not, but you can have a lot of Midos refinement and still have a Taiva for...
Right, that's right. That's what we were saying. That's what we were saying before. It doesn't necessarily get rid of your inclinations.
Okay. It's a prerequisite.
So first you have the Midos, then this gets rid of... when you have the Midos, you say, gee, I really want to go into McDonald's, but I'm going to resist, and you successfully resist. Then over here, you don't even feel the inclination anymore. Is that it?
Right. Yeah. Each to their own. You know, I don't think...
As long as you have the light on, okay.
As long as you have the light. You don't like that?
No. I think the Midos is a prerequisite. That's what he said. It's a prerequisite.
It's fine. We're agreeing with
you. Just come to Torah as an intellectual exercise. But you have to internalize Torah. So you require the Midos in order to be to have a receptive... position.
Okay, so but I'm already refined. So what do I need the Torah to refine me for?
I don't know if it means refined in the sense that the Gashmias has no effect on me. I think it means that I'm approaching Torah with awe and with love and with the right receptivity. Now that I have that, I can get into Torah and understand what the real battle is. I mean, the Zuma that he's talking about isn't just something that I have control over.
What's the real battle in what you just said?
Well,
without Midas, we don't have the ability. And I think this goes back to what you were saying. Just, I think both of you are saying the same thing in different words. But there is no way for us to purify ourselves or to refine our midas without Torah. Right? What are the tools? Okay, refine your midas. Right? Midas is a prerequisite to Torah. What are the tools? Right? So the tools are the Torah.
Okay.
So how can that be a prerequisite if we don't have the tools?
Right.
So what Dr. Unger is saying, and I believe this is true, is that we have to have an understanding of what the midas are.
Yeah.
Right? And where we're heading with, we have to know what we are heading for, what is considered refinement of the midas. What are we heading towards? Now you can learn Torah. If you know what you're heading for, if you know what you're trying to accomplish, learn Torah. Torah will help you get to that end.
Okay, how do you go before you start learning? How do you start refining middle and then you start learning Torah for a real battle?
Right. Starting is understanding what your midas are supposed to be like. Delving into these chapters here, understanding where a person's midas are supposed to be.
So I understand where I'm supposed to be. I know I'm not there, but I understand at least what I'm trying to go.
Right. You don't have the tools to get there. The tool to get there is Torah. If that is the purpose of your learning Torah, you're on the good track. If learning Torah is just for, as he says, intellectual activity, it's not going to get you anywhere.
And then what you're saying is it's the basic conception of Hashem and the roadmap to get to Hashem, to open up to the fact that the midas that we're working on is not right. We want to correct. And we talked about that, how a person becomes a tzaddik because he overcomes his midas. So
he uses his midas the right way.
For the positive, yeah.
What do you mean overcome his midas? What does that mean?
No, we had yesterday, before that, we were learning how each midah can be used for the good or for the bad. The person has to be able to channel.
If you're a gambler, then you use it to sell insurance.
There you go.
Or a butcher. Oh, you said that already.
Okay. Balzer Ramzu Chazal, we're in that fourth line of that paragraph. Balzer Ramzu Chazal, v'mamorom. This is what Chazal hint to when they say v'samtem. It says v'samtem abayishma. V'samtem es dvar ha'ela. You should place these words. So Chazal say, Vesamtam is made up of two words. Sam tam, a potion of perfection. That's what Torah is. Nimshla Torah Vesam Chaim, the Torah is compared to a potion of life. Shekolzman Sheretia Zu Al Makosra, as long as this bandage is on your wound, Echol Mashana Osra, you can eat whatever you desire. That is what the Torah compares. Well, that's what the Gemara compares it to. Kach amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So also Hashem said, Bonai, my children, Barasi Yetzahara, I created a Yetzahara, uBarasi Lo Torah Tavlin, I created the Torah as its remedy. Mechulu. Meaning, as long as you're learning Torah, as long as you're involved in Torah, you should be able to handle the Yetzahara. HaPeder Shel Sam Tam. The definition of the potion of perfection, it's a remedy that has totality, perfection. It's a can be understood by a parable to a person that suffers from different ailments, machmas zihum bedamai, because there is an infection in his blood. So yesh trufais, there are remedies sha'amna makilim es hasevel akeivim that manage the pain. Ach enu vavas nashleima, but it doesn't cure the infection. Just manages the pain. Ve'ilu kasha mekabel trufa letahar domai mekol zihum shabai. But when a person takes antibiotics to purify, huh?
He says that.
He says something. He says a remedy that's going to cure the infection.
Okay.
Right.
Put mother.
Right. Zu trufa shiash bashleimas. You could use that. He's just. This was written a couple of years ago. Huh?
Yeah. In the 50s.
Okay.
Zu trufa. Penicillin was invented in 36.
This is a remedy that has totality to it. It cures a person totally. And now he can eat whatever he wants. As long as he's taking Tylenol and Motrin, right? He can't eat whatever he wants because his blood is still contaminated. His blood is still infected. But once he's totally cured, he can eat whatever he wants. Also is the power of Torah. It purifies the contamination, the spiritual contamination of the person. It purifies him to the fact that he won't be inclined, he won't desire to things that he's not supposed to. So now he's eating and drinking is with holiness and purity. Meaning, as long as I'm still infected with Yetzirah, I can't even eat and drink the things that I'm permitted to, because that's going to draw me to things that I'm not supposed to eat and drink. So there I have to be careful, and I have to be careful not to indulge even what's permissible, because that's going to lead me to things that are forbidden. Once I have the Torah that has purified me, I can now afford to do things that I couldn't have done without the Torah, because I no longer desire things that are forbidden for me. This is the concept of Torah Tavlin, that the Torah is a remedy. Its cure is that it purifies a person of all the powers of darkness that exist within the person. Through the power of the light of Torah, a person transfers over from being under the reign of darkness to being under the reign of light. Besides this, it is also hinted to by Imre Torah Oyer, and when the pasuk says Torah Oyer, that Torah is light. Al derech Maamar HaKosov, according to the pasuk, Ner l'ragli dvarecha v'or l'nitzivasi. We say that your words are a candle for my feet and a light for my path. What does that mean? A Torah hi ner l'ragli. The Torah is the light for my feet. Now, according to the Mama to Chazal that was mentioned above, that in order that my feet shouldn't slip to fall into pits or to be stuck by thorns, maspik gamner. For that, even a candle is sufficient. But the higher level of Torah is that it should be a light for my path. What is worse than all of the dark inclinations is when a person finds darkness in the path of his life. That he is walking in it. Meaning when the person is in doubt whether the entire path that he is walking on is the right path or not. Again, a person can, if a person knows he's walking on the right path, but he's inclined to do bad things, that's one thing. But when a person doesn't even know he's on the right path altogether, that's a lot worse.
What if he's walking the right path and he gets run over? He said that yesterday.
That's a flat statement.
No, I mean, you stopped. You're not moving.
Well, I told you,
how do you know you're on the right path?
I think you might be in this category.
I might be.
I'll have a private conversation about that. You know that there's a, though it just reminded me, there's a, the Rebbe Meilach of Lizhensk once told his Talmidim that the worst Gehenim is called Olam HaToyu. It's called the world of Toyu. He said, in the, what happens in that Gehenim is that a person thinks that life is just going on and going on. And thinks that it looks as if, it seems as if life is normal. And the person just lives on and lives on and lives on and just never takes an end. And just, he goes to work every day and comes back and...
It's called Groundhog Day. Yeah.
Life goes on without any purpose. That person doesn't even realize. So that's the worst Gehenna that there is. So the Talmidim asked him, Rebbe, how do we know we're not in that Gehenna now? So the Rebbe Meilach said, because in that Gehenna we wouldn't dawn on you to ask the question. But it's brought that when a person gets an aliyah to the Torah, that's a guarantee that he's not in that world. When you get an aliyah, I don't know why, but I guess in that world there are no aliyahs. So there, that's why we make sure to give a person here an aliyah at least once a year.
Of course, other people are stealing your aliyahs all the time.
Right.
Very little chance to get in
here,
even once a year.
Maybe you should start thinking
whether you're an item, I'll tell you. I'm thinking about it all the time.
Okay. So, V'atoyrahi shema'iru lo'yaz ha'vadoz v'abitocham v'nisivachayim. The Torah illuminates the person and gives the person the security and the definite understanding that they are either on the right path or not. While there is a cause of Zichron Kodesh, as it says in the Sefer Zichron Kodesh, okay, you know, time to daven. We're going to have to, we'll go start this paragraph over again from the beginning.
That's okay. Yeah, right, I'm marking.